no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
This is Latin Radical with
Warwick Fry.
And this week we're talking to Keraz Janica, who is in Caracas right now and on the phone with us. There's demonstrations against the Colombian guerrilla group, the FARC, seems to have come straight after Hugo Chavez's successful negotiation of the release of some of the hostages they were holding. Can you tell us a bit about that, Keraz?
Yeah, well, I think an interesting thing to point out is you're correct that they occurred very much in the context of the release of a number of hostages, which the Venezuelan president managed to achieve. And this is the first time the FARC have actually released any hostages unilaterally for years, and it's something that the Colombian government has never been able to achieve. The Colombian government has always preference the military rescue style operation as opposed to any kind of discussions around a humanitarian accord or a humanitarian agreement to achieve the release of the hostages. So what you see here is, I think, the mediation of President Chavez and also the Colombian Senator Pedro Cordoba actually created a situation in Colombia where, for the first time, many people felt that there was a real hope and a real possibility of achieving not only the release of the hostages, there's 45 high-profile hostages held by the FARC, but also the possibility of ending the 40-year civil war, the possibility of actually achieving a peace agreement. And so, but in the immediate aftermath of the release of the hostages, Chavez came out and made a call for the FARC to be removed from the International List of Terrorist Organizations, which is a list made unilaterally by the United States and the European Union. And in the aftermath of this, Colombian government and the US launched a pretty massive political and media offensive against not only the Venezuelan government but also the FARC. The Colombian government claimed that Chavez's call to remove the terrorist label from the FARC and instead grant them belligerent status constituted interference in Colombian affairs. And then we saw, within the space of 1 week, three high-profile, high-level U.S. officials visiting Colombia, including John Walters, the head of the U.S.'s National Drug Policy, and Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, and Admiral Michael Mullins, who's the Joint Chief of Staff of the Pentagon. And within the space of 1 week, all three of these officials made some very serious allegations against Venezuela. They claimed that Venezuela had become the major drug transit route for Colombia's cocaine production. John Walters alleged that a third of Colombia's cocaine was being shifted through Venezuela and transported to Europe, but he didn't actually provide any evidence or statistics and so on to back this up. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Michael Mullins, claimed that Venezuela is becoming an increasing military threat in the region, and a number of serious allegations, which the Venezuelan government has, of course, refuted. The allegations around the question of Venezuela becoming a haven for drug trafficking, in the words of John Walters, have surfaced pretty much ever since 2005, when the Venezuelan government kicked out the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration from the country, saying that the DEA had actually been carrying out political espionage within Venezuela against the Venezuelan government, and also the Venezuelan government claimed that the DEA itself was actually involved in trafficking drugs. So they said, well, we don't want you to work in our country anymore. We'll carry out our own drug interdiction programs. And pretty much since then, Venezuela has maintained its level of drug introduction of of around 60 tonnes every year. And in fact, in 2007, a UN report said that Venezuela had the third highest rate of any country in the world in terms of its drug interdiction program. So, yeah, the claims that the US is saying that, you know, drug trafficking and so on is increasing in Venezuela is, like, baseless. They haven't actually provided any evidence to back up those claims.
Yeah, it sounds as if the drug trafficking has actually been reduced since they kicked the Drug Enforcement Agency out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, according to the Venezuelan government statistics, that, you know, it's maintained a very high level of drug interdiction, and they've actually made a lot of recently decommissioned a whole, like, they found a whole series of Colombian narco trafficking camps and so on near the border, and they've decommissioned those. Made a whole series of efforts to actually combat drug trafficking. The problem is, in Venezuela, particularly along the border states with Colombia, that the Colombian paramilitary groups, which were allegedly demobilized in 2005-2006 in a very much a fake demobilization process carried out by the Uribe government, they've actually began operating and have a very strong presence not only in the Colombian border states but also on the Venezuelan side. So you see increased instances of kidnapping, extortion and violence and so on that's being promoted and carried out on the Venezuelan border by Colombian paramilitaries.
That's with the government driven paramilitaries, not the guerrillas.
Yes, that's the right-wing paramilitary groups. In particular, there's one group that operates on the Venezuelan border, and it's one of the most notorious Colombian paramilitary groups, the Auto Defense Units of Colombia. So they've carried out, you know, numerous massacres of civilians and so on in Colombia along the border with Venezuela and so on. And they're one of the strongest groups. But there's also, a range of other paramilitary groups that operate in the region as well.
Right. And notice there was a recent story now that they're accusing Venezuela of providing arms and ammunition to the FARC. Have you heard anything about that in Caracas, Kiraz?
Yeah, well, that's a claim that the Venezuelan government has denied emphatically. And, in fact, the US Joint Chiefs of Staff, Major Admiral Michael Mullins, when he made that allegation that Venezuela's providing support to the FARC, he actually had to qualify that when he was questioned and said, well, I don't actually have any concrete evidence of that. So even though the US is making these allegations, it's another claim that they can't actually back up with facts. And I think it's all part of a much broader media strategy to politically isolate Venezuela in the context of the kind of Latin American-wide revolt against neoliberalism, the revolt against US-imposed policies and so on, which the Venezuelan government is very much in the forefront of. So I think there's actually, you know, real political motivation behind this campaign. The other aspect of that is the impact that Chavez government is having in Colombia. The fact that Chavez managed to free the hostages when the Colombian government didn't actually was a blow to the credibility of the Colombian government. And also actually posed the question of peace in Colombia, which is something that the United States, of course, does not want to see, because the United States views Colombia as being, I guess, a beachhead in terms of its strategy to control and dominate Latin America. I mean, they have over 4,000 military advisors that operate in Colombia. The US sees Colombia very much as key to its strategy of imposing free trade agreements across Latin America. In fact, interestingly, Condoleezza Rice led a kind of bipartisan US delegation to Colombia to push the free trade agreement in the very same week that Venezuela was hosting the ELBA summit. which is posing a joint Venezuela-Cuba initiative of posing a fair trade agreement for Latin America, for the region, based on solidarity of kind of barter process of trade and so on, exchanging oil for food and so on. A fair trade bloc that actually goes directly against the logic of US-imposed free trade agreements, directly against the logic of capital and so on. So you're seeing actually a lot of pressure from the US to maintain their control over Colombia, at the same time to try and push back Venezuela's influence in the region.
Yeah, there seems to be quite a concerted anti-Venezuelan media campaign all around the world. Did you hear anything in Caracas about the demonstrations? And according to our source, they were organised by the Colombian embassy here in Australia. Quite small demonstrations, but demonstrations against the FARC, the FARC, and the attempts to... attempts to buy Chavez to have their status changed and to start peace negotiations going. And, of course, there were big demonstrations in Colombia as well. Do you hear much about that in Caracas?
Yes, there was actually... the demonstrations were very much portrayed as being an independent, spontaneous initiative of ordinary citizens, if you like. But in reality, they actually received, very much, they were very heavily promoted and funded by the Colombian state and also beer business in Colombia. In fact, you had a situation where all the major television, radio and newspaper outlets were providing absolutely free advertising for the rallies in the weeks leading up to the march, and free advertising through the news. The Colombian government closed down schools. The Colombian Stock Exchange closed down. Bosses actually pressured workers to go to the demonstrations. And overseas, in Venezuela and Australia and other countries and so on, it was actually the Colombian government that organised the demonstrations. So they weren't really this spontaneous initiative of ordinary citizens, as the media has tried to portray them, but really very much part of pushing a Colombian government strategy of perpetuating the war in Colombia. Has been central to the Uribe government's politics of democratic security since he was elected, first elected in 2001. But here in Caracas, there was actually a number of demonstrations. There was one organised by the Venezuelan opposition, which is very much pro-Uribe, pro-the United States, and extremely hostile to Chavez and FARC. And the fact is that none of these demonstrations actually question the violence of the paramilitaries in Colombia. In fact, a number of key paramilitary leaders, such as Santore Mancusco, who's a notorious paramilitary in Colombia and has openly admitted the massacre of over 300 civilians, he was one of the key promoters of the march. So it was very much a pro-war march as opposed to a peace march. It was, and the families of the hostages have actually come out and said as much and criticised the march for being for polarising the country. Astrid Betancourt, the sister of Ingrid Betancourt, who has been held by the FARC since 2001, said that Uribe was manipulating the pain of the families of the hostages. She said that and she questioned who actually benefits from this march, and she said it's Uribe who benefits from this march. There's no benefit towards peace, towards a humanitarian agreement and so on that comes out of this march. So, yeah, you had a situation where it was very much a government orchestrated campaign in alliance with the mainstream media and big business and so on.
Well, thank you very much for keeping us informed here in Australia with Latin Radical. And just before we we leave you, Caris. How are preparations going for the next Australian Brigade, with the Australians who want to go over there and see what things are on the ground for themselves?
I think the preparations are well underway. There's not sure of the final amount, but we should have approximately 25 Australians coming over for the May Day 2008 Venezuela Solidarity Brigade. And we've got invitations from various trade unions here, including Marcelo Maspero from the National Union of Workers, to unions in Australia. Hopefully there'll also be a number of unionists from New Zealand who will be joining on the brigade as well. So, but not only will people get to speak to workers and unionists here in Venezuela, they'll also be able to go and visit a number of the different social programs, social missions, to actually see some of the concrete achievements of the Bolivarian Revolution.
Excellent. And are there any spaces left on that brigade if people wanted to join this brigade or any others? Is there a website where they could apply?
Yeah, they can visit. I think there is probably still a number of spaces left, but I think the final registration date is the 10th of March. Closing back to registrations on the brigade. If they go and visit the Australia-Venezuela Solidarity Network website, which is www.venezuelasolidarity.org.au, they'll find all the information there, contact details and so on, phone numbers and that they can phone up people and find out more about the brigade.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Caris, and I hope we can be talking to you again in the near future.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.